Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Friday's here. That means picks. They're coming up. Give my take on Sam Darnold's play last night. Get you ready for the weekend of games. Should be amazing. Hope you are well. A little different third hour of the show. We got the press at the end. We got the picks in the middle. Let's welcome in a good friend, also an Oklahoma State alum, as am I. Brett McMurphy joins us, college football insider for the Action Network. A reminder, check out the latest lines from World of Sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Brett, when you were at Oklahoma State, did you drink whole milk and only drink the cream at the top? As apparently that's what Mike Gundy says is missing with players these days, is do nothing in the off season except work, and then come in, get in late shape, and drink whole milk with the cream on top, and then you'll be injured less often.
I drank chocolate milk, so sorry, Coach Gundy, but I wasn't one of those old-timers.
2% whole, non-fat?
Whole, come on.
Okay, just checking. So you do have a little bit of old-timer in you. I have a lot of
old-timer in me.
Fair enough. Biggest game of the weekend feels like Wisconsin, Notre Dame. Irish have played everybody pretty close. The best part is the quarterback at Notre Dame used to be the quarterback of Wisconsin, and they meet in Chicago, which is kind of like a true kind of neutral ground, right? Big Notre Dame town, but a pretty big Wisconsin town as well. And then we don't really know what to think of Wisconsin, right? They had no offense against Penn State, and Penn State dominates them in the fourth quarter at Camp Randall. Other than that, we haven't seen much. What do you think of Notre Dame, Wisconsin?
I really like Wisconsin, Doug. I think, Notre Dame, yes, they're undefeated, but they should be 0-3 against the number, the close win against Florida State, the last second win against Toledo, and then last week against Purdue should have, they intercepted them late in the end zone in that game. And Wisconsin's had a week off. That Penn State game, actually stat-wise, Wisconsin, controlled that game. And you look at what Wisconsin's done so far this year, they're out-rushing their opponents by an average of 263-33. So, does that mean Notre Dame's not going to have any run offense? I don't know. I think they'll be able to run a little bit. But as we've seen so far early this year, teams, especially like Florida State, have been able to run on Notre Dame. And that's what Wisconsin wants to do. They want to run on them. It's obviously a big game for Jack Cohn at Notre Dame, the former Wisconsin quarterback. I just think Wisconsin's the better team. The reason they're 5 or 6 point favorite, which would mean if this was in Madison, they'd be almost a 10-point favorite. So I like Wisconsin here. And I don't know the exact number, but I think anywhere from 5 to 7 Notre Dame opponents, including Cincinnati, who Notre Dame plays next week, has an open date before facing the Irish. But look, if Notre Dame can win this, if they can beat Cincinnati next week, I think Notre Dame is a legitimate playoff contender. But I like the Badgers here to get well against the Irish.
All right, let's sprinkle around some other stuff in the college football world. Brett McMurphy joining us from the Action Network. Clemson goes into Raleigh. They got NC State. But the bigger issue is they don't seem to have an offense. What happened to Clemson's vaunted offense? And I know you have a new quarterback, but he got to play last year and look good last year. What's missing with Clemson?
Yeah, if let Dabo know, because he's trying to figure it out too. I mean, they squeaked by against Georgia Tech very easily. Could have lost that game. I don't know. I don't know if it's a hangover from losing that so much was put into that Georgia game, but still that doesn't explain why they've struggled so much offensively. I actually like Clemson in this game. I think this is a big game for them. NC State a little bit under the radar. They can be tough. They've been inconsistent, though. You know, Clemson's only a 10-point favorite on the road in the ACC play. That you rarely see that. They're usually two touchdowns or more. I think they can figure things out here. But if they don't, I mean, this could, you know, they're already going to need a lot of help to get in the college football playoff. I really believe that, even if they win the ACC. So I think Dabo realizes that. I'm not going to say he's going to try to run it up on everybody to impress the committee. But also, I don't think he's going to take his foot off the pedal if he has a chance, especially the way they've started off so slowly this season.
A&M's got Arkansas in Dallas, which should be – it'll be great. I mean, those games are usually pretty close. Arkansas has kind of found a way, right? I mean, really found a way, and you know, their big win was Texas. Meanwhile, A&M, they survived Colorado on the road, and their defense is outstanding. This one feels – the old Southwest Conference game, this one feels gigantic for A&M, who thinks this could be the year, and they got Alabama and Auburn both coming to Kyle Field. But can they survive Arkansas, who seems to be so incredibly well coached?
Yeah, I did a piece for the Action Network earlier this week about, you know, coaches and how much they know about the point spread and, you know, how much pressure they get from donors. And also I included, you know, up-to-date against the spread numbers for every current coach at the current school. And yes, sir, Sam Pittman is a sparkling 10-3 against the number, which is miles better than anybody else currently. But with that being said, I actually like A&M here. I hate going against Arkansas, but I think sometimes just break it down to the most simple element. Texas was a 6-point favorite against Arkansas. A&M's also a 6-point favorite against Arkansas. Wouldn't you agree A&M is touchdown better than Texas?
At least.
Yeah. So I think, look, Arkansas has done great. A&M did whatever they wanted last week against New Mexico. I watched a lot of that game. It seemed like, you know, they were throwing when they didn't need to, almost like it was a scrimmage game, and it was a scrimmage game. They won 34-0. But yeah, this is a big game for A&M. But look, if Arkansas can win this game, I mean, look, the rest of their schedule is killer anyway. But I mean, you know, this could be a very – it's already a special season. It could be a very, very special season for the Hogs. But I just think A&M's too strong, and you mentioned the Aggies' upcoming schedule. You know, look, if you're Jimbo and you're getting paid, you know, the gross national product of some small country, at some point or another, you may want to win the SEC West. Maybe this is their year.
Nebraska played Oklahoma closer than I think most people thought, right? But some of that is Oklahoma, right? Some of that is they haven't been throttling people the way we thought they would throttle people in two of their three games so far this season. And coming off of the emotions of Nebraska, any thoughts that West Virginia comes in and gives them a good game?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, until Oklahoma can do what everyone thought they would be doing, you know, I will continue to, you know, I'm getting over three touchdowns with West Virginia. I mean, Oklahoma ranks seventh in the Big 12 in total defense. You know, you look at, again, it's not that simple to compare scores, but you look at what Oklahoma, the trouble they had with Tulane, you know, the struggles with Nebraska. I mean, those weren't flukes, okay? Look what Ole Miss did to Tulane. You know, Kiffin could have scored 300 points if he wanted to. And if he could have been guaranteed the USC job by scoring 300, he would have scored 300. So for whatever reason, Doug, and you know how strong Oklahoma is and all the preseason love they had, and rightly so, Spencer Rattler has been very disappointing so far this season, and so has Oklahoma. I don't know the reason why. But look, I'm not saying West Virginia is going to win this game, but if I'm getting more than three touchdowns, I'll take the Mountaineers because I think Neil Brown is one of the better coaches, not only in the Big 12, but also nationally. And he's been there and is finally kind of getting his guys in there and doing what he wants to do. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if Oklahoma's in another close game in the fourth quarter.
Connecticut's fired their coach, or he retired, whatever. They got beat 45-0, 49-0, 38-28, but that was Holy Cross. They did have a backdoor cover against Army. Army was up I think 34-0 at the half, only won 52-21. Here's the question. Can you think of a worse Division I football team in recent memory? Like, I know Kansas had some bad years, but, I mean, they haven't even played the good teams in their schedule yet. They play Clemson later on this year. I vote for that game to just, let's just do the old 1-0 forfeiture thing, because that, I mean, that is a massive, massive upset. Have you seen a team as bad? Because, remember, they had a little bit better players, but a lot of them left when they decided to not play last season. Have you seen anything as bad as what UConn's thrown out there?
No, I haven't. And, you know, the Clemson spread will be infinity, you know, whatever, you know, Dabo should rest his starters in that game. It's sad because, you know, I can remember when UConn, I don't know if people remember, they actually went to the Fiesta Bowl one year. They played Oklahoma. They won the Big East. They lost Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. And then Randy Edsall left UConn to go to Maryland. And
literally right after the game. After the game he left, they've never been the same since.
Basically the players had one of the senior leaders had to tell the team that the coach was gone. But Doug, to answer your question on if they're the worst team in recent memory, I just ask you to wait until October 9th. UConn plays at UMass or UMass, depending on your point of view. And I think the loser of that game can take the title of college football's most irrelevant program, at least for 2021.
But UMass isn't—they're not a FBS, right? They're FCS, aren't they?
No, they are. They're independent, like UConn. They are FBS independent.
I did not know that. I may have to.
I can see why you would.
I mean, listen, it'd be amazing to go. By the way, have you ever been to Amherst? Amherst, October 9th will be incredible. That will be the nicest, most beautiful, glorious afternoon with terrible football you can ever see. Who's getting the USC job?
Look, I have no idea. And I'm not going to pretend like I do. And I tweeted this a couple weeks ago. The earth is covered by, two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The other third is covered by coaches whose names have been linked to the USC job by their agents. At this point, Mike Bone and his leadership group are not letting anyone outside their inner circle know who their number one choice is. You can speculate, you can guess all that, who it is. I don't know. I would have thought it would have been Urban Meyer. I don't think it's going to be him. What direction do they want to go on the collegiate level? I think Lane Kiffin's not at the top of the list, but you know what? If Lane Kiffin goes into Tuscaloosa next week and beats Alabama, he will be somewhere at the top of that list. The good news for SC is they got a few months to figure it out. The bad news for SC is they can't miss on this one. USC should be a power. They need to be a power, especially for the Pac-12. So I know I'm copping out on this, but I hate just totally speculating on something. But at this point, I don't think there is a clear-cut favorite. And certainly if there is, they're going to make sure that does not get out.
Yeah, I mean, I just – here's the thing about the Lane Kiffin thing. I don't see it. I just don't see them going back down that road. I feel like Mike Bone
I don't either, but if he beats Alabama, that changes everything. That changes everything. I really believe that.
Mike Bone is going to he's going to get one of his guys, isn't he? Like, doesn't it feel like it's got to be Luke?
I don't think Luke Fickell would go. I don't think he wants
He wouldn't
job.
Go to SC?
I think he's a Midwest guy. He's a Midwest guy. He's waiting for something like Notre Dame, something along those lines, Ohio State. No. I don't think it would go to SC. And look, Doug, SC, I know you're a California guy. SC is, you know, there are some challenges with that job that you don't face other places. You're in a pro market. Your, you know, expectations are to do what Pete Carroll did. And if you don't do it, you're out on the street. So that is attractive to a lot of people, to other people that are in what they think are better situations or they think they can get a better situation two or three years from now. There's no reason just to jump at it because it's SC.
Will the Big 12 have an automatic berth in the new college football playoff?
Well, if they do what they've said they're going to do, and I don't think it will change dramatically, the Big 12 won't have one, but nobody will. It'll be the top six conference champions will get in, whether that's the Sun Belt or the SEC. So certainly they'll have as good a shot as anybody. But, yeah, they're not going to – they're never going to have a system where the SEC champ gets an automatic bid or the Big Ten champ gets an automatic bid. Now, if those champs are ranked in the top, you know, six in the country or whatever, they will get the bid, but they won't get the bid just because they were the SEC champ or the Big Ten champ. So the Big 12 will be on equal footing with the other nine conferences.
Yeah, they got to get those. They got to get those wins in the non-conference in order to get those the rankings to go up. Otherwise, they'll be in the, you know, in the American Athletic Conference sort of realm, which is seen as kind of irrelevant wins. Last thing, BYU. They do play a ton of high majors this year. They go undefeated. What's the likelihood they get in?
I don't think they'd get in, Doug. And here's why. Again, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you how the committee would vote. They play seven Power Five opponents. Okay, the rest of their schedule is Iowa State, Georgia Southern, Boise, Utah State, and USF. So are you going to take a team that went undefeated against that schedule over a one-loss Ohio State, over a one-loss Alabama, over a one-loss Georgia? I don't think so. So I think the only way they get in at 12-0, no conference game, so they don't have a 13th game, is they're going to need basically multiple teams that are in contention to have two or three losses. Then I think they got a shot. But I think what the committee does with BYU and the non-Power 5 schools are they penalize them because their overall strength of schedule does not compare with teams that are in the Power 5 leagues. And that's why I think even if Cincinnati, they already won at Indiana, if they win, beat Notre Dame, people think, well, they're a shoe-in. Well, no, they're not. They have two Power 5 opponents. And four of their 12 opponents right now are projected to have winning records. So just because you go undefeated at the group of five level doesn't mean you're automatically in. You know, power ratings show that. Vegas shows that. So for BYU and or Cincinnati to get into the playoff, obviously step one, go undefeated. Step two, hope for multiple chaos with teams like Ole Miss beating Alabama and NC State beating Clemson. And you need total chaos throughout college football to elevate that undefeated record over a team with two or three losses.
Brett McMurphy, Action Network. Follow him on Twitter for all the college football news you could ever want. Brett, great stuff. Talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Doug. Anytime.
All right. When a train hits a vehicle or railway crossing, results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't paid for by NHTSA. I'm going to tell you the five games you should bet on. College Pro Football, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We're just above 500 in college picks, 8-7 on the year. But we got a better feel. Hot start, slowed off. Now we got a better feel. We're good. Want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to Dollar Shave Club's 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club in stores. Yeah, it's Dollar Shave Club in store, so go to the store and find them. Let's get to the picks.
I want winners.
Well, we got them.
Touchdown!
5 NFL. 5 college.
5-on-3. 1-2-3.
It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5.
Let's start in the Big Ten. No, I'm not talking about Wisconsin and Notre Dame. I'm talking about Michigan State. Michigan State taking on Nebraska. Okay, it's a Michigan State team that when we saw them last weekend, they go into Miami and thump the U 38-17. Michigan State crushed Northwestern first game of the season, Big Ten matchup, 38-21. Of course, other wins over the Penguins of Youngstown State. Now, taking on Nebraska, I don't think anyone would argue that Nebraska's performance at Oklahoma, even though a loss, was a solid performance. 23-16, very much in position to make it even closer late, but I thought the defense was impressive, and Adrian Martinez has a lot of experience. That said, do you know how hard it is to come back from the emotion of losing a close game to Oklahoma when you haven't won big games this year with this crew and then beat a Michigan State on the road? I don't like it. I like Michigan State laying the 5 points. Oklahoma State, my alma mater, also Brett McMurphy's alma mater, returns home to take on Kansas State. If you know anything about this matchup, back when Bill Snyder was the coach, Kansas State was constantly the thorn in Oklahoma State's side. Now they've changed coaches, and I think it's a great coaching staff. I think it's a big-time team. And Kansas State's taking on Oklahoma State. And Brandon Whedon joined us yesterday. And Brandon's like, look, I'd never pick against my guys, but ooh, it's a hard game. So I don't think Oklahoma State has not shown the ability to throw the football well. And usually their advantage is they just out-athlete Kansas State. But those athletes got a lot of injuries outside the numbers on offense. I think Kansas State wins. I go money line. But if they're going to give me 5.5 points, I'll take that as well. Give me K-State in Stillwater getting 5.5 points. West Virginia rolls in to take on Oklahoma. Oklahoma has been less than crazy impressive most of this year. It's not that West Virginia is great. They lost a close game to Virginia Tech. That's the only loss of the year. But West Virginia is getting 17 points. 17 points in a Big 12 matchup when Spencer Rattler is yet to really look like what he's billed as. I personally like West Virginia. Give me that big number as the dog. One more dog. Stanford is a 4-point dog at home to UCLA. Now, UCLA living a little bit on the reputation of the LSU win. I do think UCLA can score and can run the football, but can they stop the run? So far, they have. UCLA's been outstanding, only allowing 63 yards rushing per game. Part of that is Hawaii. It was just a mismatch. And Fresno beat him throwing the football, not running the football. Look, Stanford has turned a corner after getting thumped by Kansas State to start the year. I like Stanford to win at home, home dog. Last one, out west. Arizona's one of the worst football teams I've seen all season. I think they would beat UConn, but that's about it. They're just bad. There's just no other way to express it other than they're bad. And they're taking on Oregon, who's the opposite of bad, right? Oregon's a 28.5-point favorite. I know that Arizona played BYU to within 8 points. I know they played Northern Arizona to 2, and San Diego State was good. They lost 38-14. Those will all be covers. I think Oregon flexes their muscles and demolishes Arizona at home. So college picks, Arizona at home, big number. Oregon at home, big number. Take them. West Virginia on the road. I'll take those points. Stanford, take those points. K-State, take those points. And, of course, the first pick was Michigan State. So the those are the college picks. Let's get to the pros. All right, pro picks. These ones to me strike me as like they're jumping. They jumped out at me. Now, some of these lines, they get to like 8 points and you get kind of sketchy about them. The Giants are a 3-point favorite at home against the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Falcons are horrific. I know they scored points late. The defense is bad. This is just what Daniel Jones and the Giants need. Giants 3-point favorites at home. Give me the G-men. The Raiders are returning home to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins starting a backup at quarterback. I don't think they're great anyway. Raiders are a 3.5-point favorite. I think the Raiders are for real, and I think that's going to be an awesome, crazy environment. The first game at home, that's a lot of people that buy tickets to come see the first game at home. This is Raider fans been waiting. Not the craziest ticket because it's a 105 start locally. That means a lot of people still at home, a lot of people in the sports bars or in the sports books. This is real Raider fans. Environment better. Derek Carr's playing like an MVP. Give me the Raiders laying 3.5. The Bills are taking on the Washington football team at home. And like, here's what happens when you have a backup quarterback. The more you see him, the more you're underwhelmed and you understand why he's a backup quarterback, right? I mean, that kind of happens with every backup quarterback. So you take the Bills. Taylor Heineke's a nice player who's running around making plays. The Bills are one of the 5 most talented teams in the NFL. They played poorly week 1 of the season, but that's like extended preseason. Give me the Bills at home, laying 7 points. The Chargers are taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that they barely, it's like One out of the last 10 times they played the Chiefs, they've won. But I'll tell you this. I like the Chargers to cover. Chiefs will win. Chargers will cover. And then the last pick is the big game of the weekend, I think. Rams taking on the Buccaneers. Rams are a one-point dog at home. Buccaneers travel across the country. I think that's a bigger thing than people think. And the back end of the Buccaneers' defense is not great. I'll take the Rams. So again, Raiders, Rams, Bills, Chargers, Giants. Those are the picks. John Bones Jones strikes me as what's called a can't get right, right? Like no matter, everyone talks about how talented he is, you know, in the octagon. But like, dude, he's constantly, constantly getting into something. Constantly. I'm going to ask you early. This is an early fantasy question. Since you have the I Want Your Flex podcast, Dalvin Cook, player sit.
Well, the tough part about Cook is he's questionable for the game against Seattle, and it's not a 1 Eastern time start. They play at 4:25 Eastern time. Even if he's 60%, you still would play him. It's just the problem that you're not going to know before the 1 o'clock Eastern time kick. If you have other running backs that are in that late window, then you have an opportunity. But, I mean, if he plays, if there's any trending towards playing, you got to play Dalvin Cook.
So I just got to sit and wait?
Yes, unfortunately. Listed as questionable with a bum ankle.
A bum ankle. You bum! You're a bum, you ankle. You are a bum, ankle. The ankle's like, I've just been sleeping out here on this couch. Now you call me a bum? What?
There are a lot of ankle injuries, some courtesy of Carson Wentz in the NFL. So you try to think of different ways to characterize that injury. And who hasn't heard of a bum ankle, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's.
No, I was just teasing.
Yeah.
Just
no, I was actually just trying to give a little insight on the different ways I try to describe an ankle injury, but there are so many of them. I can't call them ankle injuries or all sprained ankles. I got to give them a different sort of character.
Different distinction. I got it. Chris Thomason, who reports in the Twin Cities, when asked after practice if Dalvin Cook did any work in practice, Mike Zimmer said, yeah, he did some, but the Vikings practice report lists Cook as DNP in practice. So he didn't practice all week, according to the Vikings.
Yeah, it's usually not a good sign, but same thing with Daryl Henderson of the Rams. He didn't practice all week. He's questionable for the game against Tampa.
Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, we'll get to all of the different reports, plus maybe some fantasy advice from Bayer. Next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Bayer.
Dan Bayer, what do you got, my man?
Doug, all your rowdy friends can come over for Monday nights in the postseason. The NFL today altering their playoff schedule. If you remember last year when the NFL expanded to 7 playoff teams, there were 3 wild card games on both Saturday and Sunday. Now it will be spread out over 3 days, 2 playoff games coming up on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then a Monday night affair kicking off at 8:15 Eastern time, as they're calling it Super Wild Card Week. Weekend.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Here's my point to people that say it's unfair they're playing on Monday. Don't play in a wild card. Yes, you'll get one less day to prep for your next game. If you win it, you'll get one more day to prep. You'll be the only game on TV. It'll be huge. 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 Not rigged.
The one thing that I wonder is it going to be based via the matchup? You know, there was, and I don't want to offend Colts or Bills fans because they had the early game on the Saturday, the first wild card game on that Saturday. But usually that first Saturday afternoon game was the least appealing. Mm-hmm. You got Bengals-Texans a lot because the Texans would win the division and Cincinnati would be a wild card. You got that for like 2 or 3 straight years. Now where do the important games go? Is it going to be in that Monday night game? Is seeding going to be affected? Because remember, it's they recede after the wild card games. So it, would it be a 4-5 matchup where you would already like the winner of that game would already know their opponent, or you know the winner from the previous games? That's what I'm curious on how they're going to set that up.
I'm cautious. I'm curious as well. But I think that to me it's. What is that, an ESPN one? Is that what that's going to be, a Monday Night Football crew?
I'm not sure. I would assume so. It would only make sense, but I mean, I could be wrong.
You know what's interesting about it is, are they going to have the Manning boys too? It was Monday night where they had the Manning cast.
Yeah, right. Well, I looked at it, and the seating part was just the question because of wait a sec. Here we go. The broadcaster for the Monday night game of Super Wild Card Weekend is yet to be determined. So I double checked that, but that is the case. The CBS and NBC will broadcast two of the games. Fox and ESPN and ABC will each have one.
So, okay, so there's ESPN, there's ABC, so they actually get two.
Yeah, well, that,
so
well
ESPN
excuse
will
me.
Get the worst one.
ESPN/ABC, so it'll be on both networks. But
I would say they'll probably get the Monday night, won't they?
I would think that would be the case. If you had a 4-5 game, that would mean you would know what happened in 3-6 and 2-7, and then number one would know, hey, either we're going to play the winner of this Monday night game, or then like the 2-seed that. Or the 3-seed would know that they would play because maybe the 7-seed upset the number 2. I know it's getting all mumbled jumble, but I think that there could be a fairness sort of thing because of that.
I agree, but I also think, like, look, end of the day, everybody wanted more money. Nobody asked questions about it. They threw in another game, a 17th game, and now they got, you know, the additional playoff spots, which, of course, changed a couple years ago. Yep. I think that... I don't want to say just be happy being the playoffs, but just be happy being the playoffs.
Doug, you mentioned Dalvin Cook's injury. Not the only big name that could be a question mark this Sunday. Attention, DeAndre Hopkins owners. The Cardinals wide receiver listed as a game time decision for their matchup against Jacksonville because of a rib injury.
A rib injury.
If they don't have him, expect the values of Chase Edmonds, Rondale Moore, and Christian Kirk to rise. And heck... even A.J. Green. Steelers have the Bengals, A.J. Green's former team, coming up on Sunday. Pittsburgh has already ruled out wide receiver Deontay Johnson, while outside linebacker T.J. Watt is questionable with a groin injury.
A groin injury? Where's your groin injury there, Ramos? That's like your favorite drop. You had a chance.
I did not
Terry
know.
Terry Bradshaw.
It's more of a feel. I didn't really know it was coming up, you know?
This is unscripted.
With a growing injury.
Yeah,
this segment is unscripted.
Right.
With a growing injury.
There you go. There you go. Have you guys seen A.J. Green play this year? We were talking about A.J. Green in the previous update. Not great.
Yeah, he wasn't great last year either with Cincinnati.
No, kind of runs like a tight end a little bit now.
Yes, it's different A.J. Green. When him and Julio Jones came out, it was like Randy Moss, Terrell Owens. That's what those two would say. That's who people compared them to. Julio being T.O., Randy Moss being A.J. Green. And right now, both off to slow starts. Although Julio maybe should have had a touchdown against Seattle.
Should have. Julio's better than A.J., but still not an elite wide receiver anymore.
Two sprained ankles did not stop Carson Wentz from being on the practice field today for the Indianapolis Colts. He's now considered a game-time decision for their matchup against the Titans.
Why are people so messed up over the two sprained ankle things? Like, how do you do that? It's not like Martin Gramatica, right, where you jump up and down and tear both the ACLs. Like, you play, you roll an ankle, you keep playing, you roll the other one, you wake up the next day and they're both sore. Like, oh, man, I got two sprained ankles. That's what happens.
When they said he was in a walking boot, I was like, is he not in walking boots?
Yeah. One sprain's worse than the other, I guess.
Yeah, he said one's a high ankle sprain, the other is a low ankle sprain. Oof. And one other injury note to pass along that isn't an injury note, Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. not listed on the team's injury report and is expected to make his season debut against Chicago.
Really? He's going to actually play football?
Yeah, we think that's the case. The Browns are shorthanded. No Jarvis Landry because of that knee injury. Baker Mayfield's been throwing to a lot of tight ends. If you want to hear me butcher a joke on the I Want Your Flex podcast about the Browns tight end, go ahead and download it. be nice if I got the names right. But
Representative Beyer.
Free agent wide receiver Josh Gordon will be reinstated by the NFL, according to ESPN, and be eligible to play as soon as week four.
How many times has he been suspended? Four?
I even think it's more than that. And now the question is, you know, Seattle didn't carry a lot of wide receivers into the season. Their rookie wide receiver, D. Eskridge, isn't going to play against the Vikings. There could be a possible path back there. Our teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, Jeff Schwartz, mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs as being a possibility because of, it's crazy to think, but they are somewhat thin at wide receiver once Sammy Watkins left for Baltimore. So those could be some possibilities.
He got suspended twice in 14. And then he got suspended in 15.
One.
Then he got suspended in 16.
One.
And then he got suspended again in 19.
One.
So I think it's a four or five.
Six.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. All right. The Toronto Blue Jays have received approval to increase capacity to 30,000 for the team's final homestand of the season.
Roger that.
Yankees and Orioles are a part of that homestand, and the Yankees right now a game up on the Jays for the final wild card in the AL.
It actually, baseball has been wild. I mean, you mentioned St. Louis. It's won, 13 in a row now with winning the first part of a doubleheader. Remember, that's only seven innings, so we'll see what they do in the second. They can win both of the day-to-day doubleheader. Then you have, you know, the Dodgers and Giants that are separated by one game. Both teams are going to win 100 games. And then what appears to be Yankees and Red Sox. But we'll see, because the Blue Jays still have three at home against the Yankees.
Doug, one other thing to pass along. Ryder Cup still going on. Americans were up 3-1 after the morning session, leading in two of the matches that are on the course right now and tied in another, so it could be a dominant lead for the Americans heading into Saturday. Spurs great Manu Ginobili going to join the team as a special advisor, and the Warriors are signing guards Avery Bradley and Langston Galloway.
I like them both. I like them both, and I like having Manu around. So you got Manu and Tim Duncan. Is Tim Duncan still in the staff?
I thought he stepped away. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think he's with them anymore. But that's the press.
That is. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Got Ryder Cup this weekend. Got college football this weekend. Got NFL football this weekend. And maybe, you know, some reports Ben Simmons will get traded this weekend. I'm sure Ramos, you fired up for Buccaneers-Rams?
Yes, excited. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I wouldn't put everything into, hey, Matt Stafford is this if he plays well, if he plays poorly, but there's a lot riding on it there. There's a lot riding on it. I don't think there's any question.
Plus, I know a lot of people are excited because Tom Brady's here in L.A., and so they get a chance to see Brady play. That's maybe not even about the Rams. Maybe it's more about coming to see Brady play.
Well, like in person?
Yeah, just being at the stadium and seeing him in person, you know?
Yeah, this is the one game, though, that, like, even if it was the Chargers, like, the Chargers wouldn't be a decided road. Like, there's not Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans walking around the street. They all have brand new, if they do, they all have brand new jerseys.
Right? They're clean.
Like, there are clearly Pittsburgh fans, Kansas City fans, Seattle fans. Like, when Seattle travels, the 12 travel well. Anybody who's from anywhere near in the Pacific Northwest, they go to when the Seahawks play in Los Angeles. The Buccaneers, you're like, yeah, I'm going to see Tom Brady play. That's really what it is. Enjoy your sports weekend. Download the new All Ball. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is my show.